Yeah.
And if you drop out of the call, just dial back in and I'll let you in. That's fine. So big welcome to everyone to our seminar, The Magic of the Body's Wisdom. My name is Peter. I'm your host. I'm a focusing teacher. I'll be saying more about me and about the seminar in a minute. I'd like to start though with just a couple of minutes, just to settle a bit, to, for myself, in all honesty, but also for everyone else, just to arrive a little in a focusing way. So for this, if you don't know anything about focusing, that doesn't matter. Just follow, it'll be a couple of minutes just settling, noticing how you are. If you know your own thing and want to do your own thing to do that, that's also fine. But if you want to follow my instructions, then that's also good. So all you need to do is be comfortable. You might want to adjust your posture and just like, yeah, let your awareness kind of begin to notice how your body is right now. It's sitting, standing. Some people might be lying. I can't see how your bodies are, but whatever, however it wants to be, is fine. You could be moving, you could be still. And begin to just let your awareness come inward and rest inside. And particularly into contact of just what's you're supported by, whatever position you're in, you're somehow connected to the place and land around you. So notice that connection through your feet and through your back and body. And then from there, just noticing just that space your body kind of occupies. Sometimes you can feel that more if we notice the edges of our body, the skin and clothes, or the air. However you sense, just sense that sort of how we feel ourselves in our body. So you don't have to feel every bit of it. It's just noticing that sense of, oh, here I am. And just getting a flavor of how it is right now, just acknowledging, oh, how is it to be here? Just a kind of glimpse inside. Maybe there's a lot happening and it's busy and full, or maybe it's quite quiet, or maybe it's hard to notice. All of that is welcome. You don't have to be a special way to be here. Just a moment of acknowledging. Okay. And then when you're ready, we can let that go. And if your eyes have been closed, opening them, or broadening your awareness. So there's a kind of pause, a little, just a pause, which is really a central, essential and central sort of act that, well, belongs in many practices, but specifically in focusing. Just a moment of stopping and noticing, oh, how is this moment? So yeah, welcome to everyone. We've had a few more people arrive since that began. So my name is Peter Gill. I'm a focusing teacher. Prior to that, I was a meditation teacher. I taught in the Buddhist tradition for like 10 years, and then came across focusing and really fell in love with that as a practice. So that's been my vocation and living for the last 15 years. But I also mix that with some other sort of dimensions of practices that I've learned. So for example, I guess you could say I'm trauma informed, like somatic experiencing, Peter Levine's method of working with trauma. That's something I bring in, pieces of that. I've also worked with community grief ceremony, nature connection. So I'm kind of weaving various bits into what I do. But really, the central piece has always been for me focusing and its attitude. And yeah, I'm here to share this topic, and I was wondering what word to have in the title, and this word magic just kind of fell into the title. The magic of the body. So it's perhaps a strange word, but I wanted to say a bit about that word. I guess the way I'm in, I think sometimes it does feel magical as a practice. I mean, in the sense of so surprising when one turns your attention to the body and asks a question or inquires in this way that I'll show you a little bit of. What comes back is like, wow, I never expected that. So there's this element of sort of magic in the sense of beyond our normal way of experiencing things. And that kind of surprise, almost when you see a magician or something do something, go, how did that happen? And there's that same, that can be that, there can be that same quality in this practice when we practice it, when we turn towards that deeper wisdom, there is this knowing in us that I think is a kind of miracle in a certain sort of way. So as part of that, there's kind of two kinds of magic, if you like, I'm sharing tonight. One is about that deeper wisdom. What is that exactly? Something about that. And also another kind of aspect of this practice that I think is magical is how we can be with ourselves, be with all aspects of ourselves, be present to everything within us. So there's a kind of both a kind of what we're experiencing, what we're looking at, but also how we can be with ourselves with this empathic, compassionate presence. So there's two sort of ways in which I think this practice has kind of magic to it. And we're going to be doing a couple of experiential exercises. I'll be leading you through those. There'll be time for questions and hopefully a bit of time just for those who want, also about the origins of focusing, applications, a bit more about how it all fits in. Because I know some people know focusing here already and some people are new. So I'm kind of hopefully meeting both of those. Okay. Oh yeah, let's also talk, I wanted to also mention before we look at the topics about this word body. What does body mean? So what do I mean by the word body? Might be different from how you understand it. So the word body in focusing, or when I use it in this seminar, when I use it in my teachings, I don't just mean the physical body, you know, like the kind of tissues and bones. And I mean, the body is a sort of everything that isn't the concept, the sort of conceptual mind, the cognitive mind. The body is the kind of organism, really, the whole organism. I'd like to read this quote, actually, from Gendlin, which gives a little, well, I think a great description of it. The organism isn't a physiological machine that needs only physical things. The body is a cosmic system. So the body is a cosmic system rich in implications and directions beyond conception. The body is a cosmic system rich in implications and directions beyond conception. That's quite a big sense of the body we're talking about, really, when I mention it. Sometimes people think, oh, the body is just, oh, I just want sensations and just the kind of muscles and bones, and which is actually an amazing miracle. But it's the sort of the organism that can sense the world around us, really. So that's why when I use the word body, that's what I'm talking about. Okay. So let's look at this first kind of magic. In fact, I'm going to put a little very short quote in the chat because this is something I heard Eugene Gendlin. Eugene Gendlin is a developer of focusing. I've seen him a couple of times in big conferences, but he is known to have said this quote. I don't know if it's written anywhere. It says, focusing is an eye spending, I think it's spending time within it. Focusing is an eye spending time within it. Strange thing to say, and the eye is the eye of no content. I'll explain it. Just put it in the chat so you can see it also. Focusing is an eye spending time within it, and the eye is the eye of no content. That's his most pithy explanation of focusing. So the it he's talking about, well, that's what we're coming to, the deeper wisdom that lives in, if you're beneath the surface, and the eye of no content. Well, we're looking at that as well. That's the other, that's the kind of presence I spoke of, the way of being with ourselves. So it's not our normal eye, our normal experience of perhaps being whatever we call eye. It's like a bigger sense of eye, really. So we'll look at that. And I just wanted to put it here because it really touches these two topics. So what is this deeper wisdom? You know, what is this deeper wisdom that focusing points to? And not just focusing, of course, focusing is a natural process that we all, or points to a natural process we all have, because we're embodied beings. You know? So what is that deeper wisdom? So I thought I'd share a couple of images right to begin to set us off. Just give me a moment to share the screen. Two images. Can you see the image? Perhaps someone wave, great. That is the image of an iceberg. I might have used it on a seminar advertising. It's an image I came across that describes focusing. You know, so I'm not sure you can see my, can you see my mouse when I'm going over it at all? Great. So that little kind of, so the top, yeah, what we think of ourselves as us and our conscious mind is up here, the sort of top layer. But beneath, you know, like a real iceberg, there's this huge body of kind of experiencing, really, that lives below the surface, out of our awareness, but there, hugely informing, really, what our experience. You know, that's one image that describes this embodied wisdom. It's kind of deep and beneath the surface, beneath awareness, but also vast and very powerfully affecting, if you like. I'll share a second image. That's the iceberg. And another image. It is more one I come across more recently, which some of you might already have seen, which is the forest, the mycelium in the forest. So trees are extraordinary beings. They look singular if you look around, but certainly when they're living in a forest, underneath the surface, there's this network of well, both roots and also fungus, a kind of fungus called mycelium. And that they kind of coexist together to communicate. So it's like a whole organism underneath. Again, you've got this image of the surface, the kind of top level, what you can see, but underneath there's this entire world of knowing, really. You know, and a forest is incredible, really, how it knows when to let one of the trees die, or when to help it survive, or when, where food is, or where water is, or where attack from insects is. They have this communication system, trees, that is quite extraordinary. But I think it speaks to the same. It's another image, really, of this deeper wisdom that we have. So yeah, this deeper knowing is something that lies beneath our rational mind, our cognitive mind, our thinking mind, you could say. It's not the same as an emotion, although it might have some emotional qualities. It's not thought. I guess it belongs in the same realm as intuition. It's gut feeling. Maybe I certainly feel like dreams come from the same place as this wisdom. And it might sound like it's perhaps far away, but I want to give some everyday examples of accessing it. Like I say, this is something that belongs to all of us to some extent. We all have it. So here's a few everyday examples. Of this knowing, maybe not so recently, but I'm sure all of us have had the time when we've had to search for somewhere to live, to rent, to buy, whatever it is, looking for a house, and you're searching around different places, and almost as soon as you get to a place, you're walking up towards it, and there's a feeling inside like, no, this isn't right, something's not right about this, or yeah, maybe, or yeah, like there's a, you don't have to think that, you know it immediately. In some way in your body, I say your body, but again, notice body means a bigger organism, really. But there's some kind of knowing that we can tap into, like we have a sense, a felt sense, to use a focusing expression. So buying a house is very, or finding somewhere to live is very accessible example, I think, of this kind of knowing. Or like a decision. Sometimes a decision just doesn't feel right. Even though everyone around you is saying, oh yeah, you should take that job. It's the best thing you've ever come across. And get loads of money, and you're like, something doesn't feel right about it. Or conversely, maybe everyone's saying, no, don't do that, and you inside of you are like, yeah, this is a really important opportunity. You feel it inwardly, like that's again, that's that deeper knowing that we have. So a decision is another kind of everyday situation. Or just forgetting something, or remembering that we've forgotten. Everyone's had that moment. You walk out the house and you go, there's something. You know there's something, and you kind of, sometimes you never remember it. Of course, like weeks could go by, oh damn, it was from a friend's birthday card, but you have this knowing of what's missing, even if it's just a very simple sort of thing. So those are everyday examples of I think, that tap into this knowing. It's not really, you don't really think it. All of those examples are just like almost like immediate sense. Does that make sense so far? Yeah, great. So really, I will put in this term. Well, I'll come back. I won't say lots about it, but this is a term, felt sense, that Eugene Gendlin coined to describe this sort of knowing, really, a felt sense. And it's how our body feels. It feels situations. It doesn't just, we don't just sit and know a situation through thinking. We know it in this more embodied way. So he found this phrase for it, felt sense, really. So I want to say a little bit more about it, give a couple more examples, and then we'll do a kind of exploration of it. So this is a quote from a focusing teacher called Adi van der Kooi, who's lives in the UK. A felt sense is a bodily sense of how your body is holding something, which can be a certain situation, a person, a decision, or action, or an unprocessed experience from the past. It can really be about anything within your field of experience. How your body is holding something, and it can be any situation, a person, a decision, an action, an unprocessed experience from the past. And listening to the felt sense allows the body not only to show how it is holding this something, but also allows the body to show its wisdom in how to be with it and move forward with this something. So I'll read that bit again. Listening to the felt sense allows the body not only to show you how it is holding this something, but also allows the body to show you its wisdom in how to be with it and move forward with this something. So that's kind of crucial, those last bits. It's not only just shows you what's going on, which is great, because sometimes we don't know and the body has a knowing. Oh, this is what this situation is like. But it shows you how it could move forward, or how you could be with it, how it could shift. It's like a plant knows how to move towards water and what it needs, for example. This is this bodily knowing. It knows a sort of, it's a kind of direction to it. Yeah. Super rational. Yeah, I've not found that word, David. Thanks for sharing it. Maybe it fits. It's definitely more than rational, isn't it? It's a sort of bigger knowing. Great. And Gendlin says a felt sense is body and mind before they are split apart. Body and mind before they are split apart. Again, I think it evokes something of it. This kind of pre-cognitive knowing or something. That's how the body has it. Okay. So I want to say a little bit about how it shows up in us, or because it's more often than not, it's not something that's right there. Sometimes it is when we're in really quiet and spacious, or very attentive, or certain sort of situations really make it, I say it, but makes that level of awareness more accessible. But mostly it's a bit quieter, a bit the edge of your awareness, a bit like, you know, that niggle when a decision doesn't feel right. It's not necessarily loud. What might be loud is all the voices and criticisms and other opinions you've got, but it's kind of quieter, like at the edge of your awareness. Something's not right. It can speak very readily in terms of focusing practice, in images and symbols. I'll share some of those later, some symbols that have come for me, because my body, if you like, speaks to me in symbols very readily. But it could be just a feeling in the body that's just like, it's really hard to put into words. So you just feel off, you know, these words, these like, or niggled, or like, you can't really, and that's not much to go on, is it? Like I feel a bit like, but there's lots of information in that. This is what I love about focusing. It really values this kind of vague feeling we have about things. We know we feel something about it. We know we feel something, but we can't put it into words. Well, that's a really rich moment. Another way it shows up is those moments of aha, you know, aha moment, like moments of, oh yeah, that's it, that's right. Like our body agrees, you know, like something in us deeply agrees, you know, when we talk about this word resonant, when something resonates with us, that is really this level of awareness, when we really Sometimes you read a sentence in a book, or somebody says to you, "Oh, you must be really feeling sad," and you suddenly go, "Yeah, right, I am." Like your body agrees with it. Like it's so clearly that a deeper level of knowing it loves to be met, it loves to be known. So it's not always at, I guess what I'm saying, it's not always at the forefront, but it's at the edge and can be invited, can be welcomed. And that's what we'll be exploring. Maybe I'll pause there for a second. I just want to check if there's any, any questions or about what I've said so far, just in case there is a question. You can put it in the chat or you can unmute yourself. Either is fine. Just mainly checking it's making sense as we're going along at this stage. Great, need some nods. Lovely. There'll be some more time for questions later. Okay. So I want to share a couple of examples from focusing sessions, since this is from my own experience. Yeah, a bit personal, so bear that in mind. So I want to share these as a way of what I think is displaying some of that magic, you know, some of the, I hope they do. And certainly there's kind of wisdom, the wisdom that the body has. So one example comes from many years ago when I don't know how many years ago now, 10 years ago, longer actually. So I'd just broken up a long relationship with a woman, and I was kind of in a place of, a space of loss, I suppose, for many months. And I knew focusing by then. So it wasn't maybe a regular practice, but it's something I turned to. Like, what do I feel? What's going on inside? I knew I didn't feel okay. I felt a bit off and a bit, didn't feel right. Couldn't really identify it. I just felt, So I paused and sort of invited, what does it all feel like right now? And fairly soon, which doesn't always happen, but fairly soon this image came to me. It must have been in June that day. And this image of a wolf came. And this wolf was on a kind of cliff or plateau, really, overlooking this landscape. And it was just howling, like wildly howling. And I was like, wow, okay. And that just came completely out of nowhere. I had no, didn't think it. It just came too deep from my psyche, let's say, you know. And so that was already quite moving, the sense of, wow, something inside feels really in pain, you know, or strongly. Like, and I really got this sort of sense that the wolf wasn't at all embarrassed or like shy about his experience. Sounds funny to say, you know. Of course, animals aren't they? They just express themselves fully. And this is what my body wanted to do. It just wanted to kind of howl and like cry. And I was like, well, and then lots of emotion came, like it's poured through me. And it was kind of a sense of relief at like meeting what was there, you know. And it spoke to me, I guess, that deep in, for me, that's my wisdom speaking to me. So it was a lovely moment, really, even though it was difficult. It was true, you know, that was another thing about focusing. It was true. So that was one example. And another one, a few years later, when I've got a son who's now 11 years old. So he was about two at a time, one or two or three, I can't remember exactly. And I was focusing on, again, this sense of there was something that didn't feel right. And this image came to me again. I was on a retreat at the time. This image came, it's come into my awareness of the city, this big city. And the city had no railways in it. And that's hard to explain why, and how even I can describe that image, like how I saw it. But anyway, I knew, I just looked around and I thought, wow, this city has got something missing. And it's like all the tracks are removed. It sounds very elaborate, but it came at once, a bit like a dream image, you know, like in dreams, images come. And I was like, wow, what is this? And I didn't understand it at all. I was like, what is this? This doesn't make any sense. Like it felt very mysterious to me. And I remembered, you know, I spend a lot of time with my son, who was two or three at a time, building railways, building on, you know, those wooden railway tracks. I don't know if you've got kids or seen kids, or you've probably seen them in dentist surgeries, you know, those wooden railway tracks. And every morning he would wake up at 5 or 6 o'clock and want to do this. I'd be doing this over and over again. So it was a big part of our life, was making these railway tracks. You know. And then it came to me, oh, wow, like my body's showing me something about my own past. It was like a metaphor for what my life was like. Because I didn't grow up with a father. My father wasn't around. I still am three times a year. But I had a stepfather who was kind of absent as well. But so it was like my body showed me the whole feeling of growing up without a dad in an image, which was like a city without railways. I hope that makes sense. When I got it, I thought, wow, I was so blown away by this. I could never have thought of it. Like in a million years, I could never have thought of that. But my body, if you like, a deeper knowing, just showed it to me in this one moment. I was like, wow. So that's the kind of magic I'm talking about in the sense of surprise and like I'm in the presence of some kind of wise being that knows exactly what's going on that isn't up here. So yeah, that's a couple of examples. But anyway, I'd like us to explore it. I'd like us to explore it. So we're going to do a little sort of guided exercise, probably like 6 or 7 minutes, maybe, yeah, something around that. So I'm going to lead us into a little bit of an exploration of this in our own life. And I want to say before we begin it that every group guided exercise and focusing works for like 50% of the people maximum. 50% of you are going to go, I have no idea what you're talking about, or this isn't really meeting where I am, or I don't work like that. Or so I just want to say that and up front, and that's just how it is. You know, it's a very individuated process, focusing like how to kind of access this wisdom. But even so, I think it's worth doing and trying. So I'm going to guide you through that. And if it's not working, just don't worry. Don't give yourself a hard time about it. And, you know, oh, should we be getting it right? Or, you know, just treat it as an experiment, a little experiment into this deeper knowing. So does that make sense, that little caveat about the exercise? Great. And then we'll have a chance to share a little bit of what we noticed. So I'm going to invite you to share to explore a situation in your life. And I'm going to give you two options to make it simple. So you could think of some place you love being. It's a topic. I'm giving you a topic to invite your body's knowing about it. A place you love being. Maybe it's somewhere you've been on holiday over the summer or been to recently, but somewhere you like feel like, oh, I love that place. Like it's, I can think of fireplaces like that. Could be where you are right now. That's okay. Maybe you love being in your home. You know, that's okay. It doesn't have to be somewhere different. So that's one option. But another option could be something that's kind of niggling you at the moment. Maybe some situation that's a bit annoying. Could be like a work situation that's a bit troubling, or a decision. I don't know. Just some kind of, oh, I'm not so sure what to do about that. But what I will say is don't pick a really big, difficult situation. Like, I don't know, maybe you're facing some really serious illness or the relationship is on rocky or something. I mean, you can focus on that by all means. That's great use for focusing, but to dip into it in a little way in a session like this is a bit, it might evoke too many feelings, too much all at once. So, I mean, if 10 was most troubling and one was a niggle, you know, pick one, two, or three, something a little bit annoying, a bit difficult. So those are two options. So a place you love being or some kind of difficult, slightly niggly situation that's a bit annoying, a bit. Or just like you feel a bit off about something. So does that make sense? Yeah. You're not going to have to share this with anyone. It's just entirely a private exploration. So I'm going to invite you into a kind of a different, I hope, a different awareness of that situation. Invite you to evoke it, and then we'll kind of see, make some invitations inside. I'll guide you through the process so you don't have to know anything beforehand. And as I say, if it doesn't work, just let it go. That's fine. You can have your eyes open, eyes closed. I'll probably close my eyes. But that doesn't, whatever feels safe for you and okay. Camera on, camera off, whatever works. So let's take a moment, like we did at the beginning, and bring your awareness to kind of the space around you, maybe first of all, but even with your eyes closed, you can sense that. Notice the room around you, the sense of that space. Maybe it's really familiar to you, maybe it's not so familiar. It's one of the knowings that the body has is where we are, and it always has a knowing of the kind of like where the door is and what's around us, very instinctive. So just notice that, oh, here I am, notice the place. And then maybe noticing the kind of contact with that space. It could be behind you, in the chair, beneath you, or whatever you're sitting on, sofa or floor. So notice where you feel that contact. And let it be supported, let it be held. And just noticing a posture too, however that is. Maybe it's restful, maybe it's a bit uncomfortable, and that's okay. Just notice however it is. On your skin, your clothes, get a sense of the whole shape of your body, how it is right now. And then also noticing a bit kind of your, like, your inner landscape. So there's what's around you. There's also inner landscape. You might notice it through the breath, just sensing the breath moving in as a way in. Like, how is it in there? Maybe there's things you already notice about how it is right now. Maybe there's things in your day that are niggling or calling, or physical discomforts calling you, anything that's calling you specifically, noticing that. Okay. I guess get a general sense, how is it inside? And then when it feels right, just recall your topic, and it could be recalling the place you love being in, or recalling the situation that feels a bit off or difficult or niggly in some way. And don't too dwell on it too long, like just kind of like evoke it, like, oh yeah, I remember that person or that place, that situation. Just evoke it in your memory. And notice what happens as you do that, but particularly noticing what happens inside. Like, if you were to say, what does the whole thing feel like? So I'd invite you to drop that invitation in to your awareness right now. What does that whole thing feel like? Or that whole place, if it's a place, feel like? Keep to those words as closely as possible. Like, if you're trying to get a sense of the whole thing, what does the whole thing feel like? And just wait a moment. See what... Something might stir, it might not. Gentlin said, wait a minute. Wait one whole minute. We don't do that very often these days, but I'll just wait a moment. And just see... As you kind of remember the situation, let a sense of it come, maybe. It may not come in the body too, maybe just images or words come in. Feelings. Or maybe there's a way of just to describe, to find a word that would fit what you notice inside. Like, I use that word to niggly, maybe that fit, does it feel? Or does it feel off or weird? Or say it was a difficult situation, but if it was a place you love, like what word would describe it? Let yourself feel into that, maybe a word calm or joy or space. Who knows? These are my words, but what? So get a sense of could try and describe it a little to yourself and see what fits, see what feels like, yeah, that's it. Sometimes all I get is a word like something. I just feel something, and that's as much as I get. But I know that feels true. I don't know anything more about it. So maybe it's as vague as that. Maybe it's very clear. Like very clear emotion or feeling or something in there that can be put, you can put words to. What does the whole thing feel like? The whole situation. Or just invite, like, what does it feel like in my body right now when I think of this? So just give you another half a minute or minute, maybe a minute. Just be curious. That's all we need to do is be curious. And if nothing happens, that's fine. Okay, so gently letting that come to a close. You might open your eyes if they've been closed, or just look around a little bit, kind of move your body, hands and feet a little bit if they've been still. You don't have to be still to be, very often it is as kind of as a stilling and a, but you know, you can do this while walking along or moving once you get used to it. So yeah, we have a, let's have a few minutes. We have about 5 minutes. And if anyone would like to share what they noticed, even if they noticed, I didn't notice anything that was really hard, if that's okay. Or maybe notice something. A question comes from that, like, yeah, please put it in a chat or just unmute. I think you should be able to unmute yourself. Feel free to do that. How was it? What did you notice? Did you discover something? Did you notice something? Maybe you can put, actually, you put your hand up as well, if that would be helpful, because then you'll come to the first screen. Great. So if you put something in the chat, I assume that means, and it's for everyone, I assume that means I can read it out, because not everyone can see the chat. So yes, feeling unseen, a gripping in the throat and chest. Yeah, well, that's quite a bit of information, isn't it, already? I don't know what the situation was, but that's, I imagine, I don't know if that was more than you've initially sensed. Sounds like it was, like feeling unseen is a whole kind of quality of meaning to it, doesn't it? There's a lot in that. We might first get something off in our body, doesn't feel good. But I feel unseen. Place where empty and barren. Okay, thanks. Yeah. Yeah. Lost in not so pleasant reverie in some storyline. Yeah, that happens. We get lost in story, don't we? We get taken into. That happens, to me. It's and not surprising. Sometimes I'm not able to follow my guidance because it doesn't always fit your pace or your way of doing it. Some people, as I say, were very particular. So thanks for showing that. There was a question I noticed you brought earlier, Rambabu, about pain and discomfort. And that's particularly quite hard if we're in pain, physical pain or a lot of emotional pain, to to kind of, well, sometimes it's very overwhelming or very powerful. It's right at the forefront of our experience. It's hard to sort of step back and get a sense of more to it. Someone asks, what if I do not feel, what if I don't feel anything in my body, but the image is coming up? Great. That may well be your body speaking to you in images. You may not feel anything. Like I talked about in my example, when I had the image of the city without a railway, I didn't feel anything apart from, well, what's that? Then, interestingly enough, when I said it and I shared it and I had it reflected back, it was in a kind of paired situation. And then I could really feel it. Then the kind of meaning of it became very clear to me, as I said. But images can be the first communication from something. It's like the first, that's how our body speaks. It doesn't speak in words very often. I find it speaks in images. That's its natural language. You know, that's how we've communicated almost, I think, how we do communicate through art and creativity and music and all that's the same realm. It's kind of non-verbal, you know. So yeah, be curious about them. If images come, be curious about them. Feelings of nostalgia, yeah, that may well have come. Discomfort with the situation. Couldn't grasp at it, and it was as if there wasn't actually a problem. Again, interesting. And the word sweet came. Well, there we go. Sometimes surprises happen like that when we feel a situation. Great. Thanks for sharing that story, Judy, yeah. And it brought something from when you were younger. That's very typical as well. You know, this is one of the ways, you know, I showed the image of the forest. The knowing that the body has, it's like it has a kind of very intricate knowing of our past, I find. Not necessarily in a linear way, but it's like networked to everything we've lived through. Like our body, one person described it, like our body's remembered everything. Our body keeps a score, of course. That's Bessel van der Kolk's book around trauma. And the body, almost like, I don't say remembers is a bit too literal, but it lives through it in a different way than our cognitive mind. It lives through every moment of it. So it's got so much knowledge to it. I was remembering a beach I went to in Cornwall recently, and the word homeland just came into my mind. Wow. I don't remember feeling that at the time, you know. So, but that was a really rich word. It means a lot to me. My ancestors are from that land. So I was like, oh, wow. So that was what came to me. Empty and full at the same time. Thank you. Yeah. Great. Thanks. So we can learn to get a felt sense of any situation. This knowing, this deeper wisdom, this the body. It could be situations that are very troubling and complex. Like I've got a lot happening as a parent at the moment. They're very complex and difficult, and a lot of voices and a lot of criticism and lots of parts of me. But if I pause, I can get a sense of what would be a right step. What would feel right for me and my family or my son? Like, but that's not on the surface. It's a little bit below. So that's an example of a situation that I apply it to. Like what to do, like, why do I do this? Like there's a knowing inside. What is this like? What do I even feel? But it could be something really simple. Like what, you know, like, I don't know. I get it going shopping in a supermarket. Like I get a felt sense of what my body wants, and what it doesn't. I don't always choose the right thing. I don't care. I'll just take it anyway. I override that knowing, but that's the kind of knowing as well. You know, so small situations, everyday situations, big situations. Even our sense of what's happening in the whole world, you know, the world situation, I think our body feels that. Just the way in which the forests right now, you know, they feel the drought, they feel that. Trees feel it, the forests feel it and show us it through losing leaves. You might have noticed a lot of leaf loss at the moment. There's a kind of, I think our bodies are very sensitive. They feel what's going on around us. So we can invite a sense of quite big situations. Organism centers a lot, let's just say that. So that's the first kind of magic that we've explored, the kind of what Jenlin calls the felt sense, Google deeper wisdom, the wisdom of what our body knows if we give it space. And yeah, as I say, don't worry too much if that practice was tricky or hard. Like it takes time to get a sense of it sometimes. There's steps I might not have missed out and steps that you might need. But I hope you get a feel of it. We get a feel of what that is. Any questions before we move on to a second bit of magic? Question? Any question about what? And all questions are welcome, even if you think, oh, I shouldn't answer. Please go ahead. Good. So the second, this is, we're coming back to this quote that Jendlin said, focusing as an I, spending time within it. An I is an I of no content. Not very accessible quote, but it describes something. The I of no content, what's he talking about? The I is the self, that isn't a normal self, it's a bigger self. This is the second kind of magic, I think, that focusing brings. This, it's really, one word for it is presence. Presence is like our capacity to be with all aspects of ourselves without judgment or agenda. To be with all aspects of ourselves without judgment and agenda. This is a capacity we have, all of us, I believe. If you like to stand a little bit behind or beyond our direct experience and kind of be with it, with empathy. To be with even the most difficult aspects of ourselves, things we would rather not admit to anyone. For me, focusing's brought me this capacity to be with everything inside of me. Such a gift, really. Definitely a kind of magic. Now, not always. Sometimes it's hard. An example of pain is one. It's a good one. Physical pain, emotional pain. Sometimes it's I can't do that in the moment. But it comes. Often it comes if I leave a little bit of time. Be able to be with all aspects of myself. So I'll share an image for this. This is an image that a friend of mine who knows focusing, a student of mine, she's an illustrator. So I just want to get this because I think it describes it quite well. Let me just get it ready. Here we go. Share screen. Okay. Can you see the image? So the image took a little time to take it in. There's a fireside and there are these creatures around it, different beings. Some are sad, some are small, wild, or this one here, a bit kind of cloudy and uncertain. I love the image of a fire that can welcome all parts of ourselves. I like that. I really love that image of this capacity to welcome all sides of ourselves, you know, the envy, the shame, the parts of us that feel sad, the parts that are angry, the parts that feel joy, maybe, you know, maybe like all parts of us are welcome in this kind of presence. So I return to this image again and again as a way of describing it. Like we've all come to a fire at some point in our life and someone's made a place for us, haven't they, at the edge of the fire, whether it's a real fire or table in a room, who knows what it might be, but the same image holds. We've been given a place, like, yeah, you're welcome here. You're welcome here. And it's not, that's not how we are. Most of, I mean, much of, I don't know about you, but much of the day, much of our lives, we're, it's not like that. We're probably identified with some part of us that has an agenda. You know, we come to our life very often identified with something, with not with this bigger space, but with something like a, maybe wants to compress or be liked or control or make something happen, and or anxious or fearful. And that's okay. That's really welcome. All of those are parts of us that are welcome. But they're not the same as this bigger sense of awareness that can be with all of that. This is this, this capacity to meet all of ourselves, like I say, without agenda, without judgment, just with empathy and curiosity. So focusing has brought me that capacity more and more. Really being a listener to oneself. That's what it's given me the a way of rebuilding this strong a sense of me being able to listen to all sides of myself in a way that I just couldn't before. And there's a kind of magic in that. It means I'm much less kind of tangled up, or less of the time, should I say, that I'm able to step back and notice, oh, wow, okay, something in me is really triggered. You notice that language, something in me, some part of me is really triggered right now. Oh, okay. I can be curious about that. Curiosity is a really key kind of quality, really, of this presence, curiosity that we can bring to things. Just reading the arc, are there any things that can help develop this capacity? Yeah, definitely. Well, I mean, there's many things, you know, many things. I think not just, you know, obviously focusing as a practice itself develops it, but I think other practices, Qigong, yoga, meditation, mindfulness, maybe, I don't know, it's kind of dance, creativity. I don't know, sometimes even me, like I'm listening to music and suddenly I'm like, I hear a song and it meets how I am, and I'm suddenly able to be with myself more. Like, oh, I get how I am. And I'm like, I'm able to be a bit bigger and be with myself. So it's a very natural, I think it's a natural capacity we have just to sort of take a step back, you know, and go, oh, right, this is what's here. And not this is what's here, like I don't want it. This is here. Oh, right. Well, okay, I can be with this. And it's okay to have, this is here, I don't want it. That would be another part of us. We'll talk about that in a minute. I'll give an example of it. But so it's okay to be reactive, you know, like, oh, I hate this way of feeling. Oh, okay, well, that's a part of me too. Like, just like the fireside. That fireside includes parts of us that are going, I hate feeling this way. I wish you'd never do that. You're such an idiot. All the critics and judges, you know, it can welcome all of that. You know, that's incredible to be able to welcome even those parts of us that are harsh and critical towards us. So that, I think that's a really radical kind of acceptance that this practice brings. So does that make sense so far? At least I'm evoking that quality. Yeah. And yeah, I don't think focusing's got a right on it. It's a kind of human possibility that all sorts of ways of accessing it, you know, focusing for me was how I really, really got it. That I think is certainly implied in many sort of spiritual traditions and practices, mind-body traditions. It's there, really. It's part of being human. So I'm going to, yeah, I want to end or sort of get to, or at least as a sort of final exercise, do a little exercise around this, around developing a quality of being with. Really, I'm going to offer you a way into this being present with yourself, being with yourself. So again, it'd be sort of similar, but not so much about a topic or about a theme. I'm going to lead you more into, a sense of just being with whatever's here. And see what happens. Let's see what happens. So again, take it with a pinch of whatever you call it. Not a pinch of salt, but a pinch of it might not work, might not fit, and that's okay. But we'll spend about 8 to 10 minutes just again exploring this. Notice what happens. Just be curious. That's the main thing. Be curious. And then we'll have time for questions. And yeah, I'll kind of wrap up with a little bit of context. All right. So the same as before, have your eyes open, eyes closed. Make things be comfortable though, really let yourself be comfortable. If you want to lie down, that's fine. You know, turn off the camera. Don't like, oh, I've got to be all tight. And sometimes that gets associated with sort of trying, doesn't it? I've got to try and we get a little bit. But just to let yourself get yourself comfortable. And yeah, take whatever works, take it in, let it speak to you. If it doesn't speak to you, just let it go over your head or let it go, it's fine. But yeah, firstly, just again, just contacting that sense of your body in the space. Really feeling that sense of the body and how it's being held in space. what you're sitting on. Support behind you, beneath you. Letting it rest there, really particularly noticing that sense of contact and support and how your body is just naturally held there. You don't have to force it. So whatever is holding you, just notice that. And maybe from there, noticing the rest of the edges of your body, your skin, your clothes, yeah. The air against your skin, maybe. Just to get a sense of your posture and shape, solidity, and space you are, space you take up. And then maybe noticing the breath, just not in its natural way, wherever it is right now, it might be shallow or deep. Or again, not having to change it, just noticing it. There's the breath in the body. And sensing that inner landscape, how the body is inside right now. Maybe it feels all okay in there. Or maybe there's things clamoring for attention or discomfort. Just noticing how it is right now. And maybe particularly inviting you to notice feelings out there right now. I guess I mean emotional feelings. And acknowledge maybe there's something that doesn't feel okay, or unhappy, or stressed, or anxious. So rather than sort of going right into it, just notice it. Something or something in me feels anxious. Something inside feels a bit unsettled, or these are my words, but whatever is in there that feels in, that might be in that kind of way, feel that kind of way. Oh, there's something in there. And even using that language, if you like, something in me feels sad or anxious. So acknowledging any feelings that are inside. And if there's a kind of reaction to those feelings, like, oh, I don't want to feel this way, or I hate feeling this way, I wish I wouldn't, or I want it to, I don't want to feel it, then let that be there. Something in you feeling that. Like, and we might feel that physically, like a sort of tension against it. Let that be there too. Like, very natural to want to not feel bad feelings. So let that be there in your body. Something in me, not wanting to feel. That's just as welcome as everything else. And if we're drifting off and finding it hard to even be present, let that be here. Like, notice that. Oh, wow. Just notice that that's how it is right now for you. Something in you drifting off. So in this way, we're just acknowledging all that's present, particularly all that calls to us, all that kind of comes into your awareness strongly, wants to be noticed. Maybe there are sensations, difficult sensations in your body, physical discomfort, or things that you, pain, or things that you can't put into words that just don't feel right. Really acknowledging that, an ache in your shoulder, or a tightness. Some people like to say hello, like, oh, hello, tightness. Or internally, inside themselves, or I acknowledge you. That might help, may not, but in some way, inwardly acknowledge any difficult sensations in the body. They can be here too. And thoughts, they're welcome. Maybe there's lots of thinking going on. And maybe parts of you thinking, oh, I can't do this. This is terrible. Okay, notice that. Let that be here. Something in you thinking that. Something worried about some future event. Let that be here too. Sometimes we have very difficult situations that kind of feel very present to us. Let us acknowledge, oh wow, there's a lot of difficulty here. Let that be here. So all of that is welcome, just like that fireplace has all the different parts of you around it, parts of us. Imagine yourself as that bigger space. You are the bigger space that can hold all of those different aspects of you. You in your wholeness. Even if you can just be a little bit curious about what's there, that's something of it. That's something of that presence I was speaking of. Every moment of acknowledgement is a step towards this. Every hello, every noticing inside, oh, that's here. So you might even imagine a fireplace and all the different parts of you around it, if that fits for you, or maybe there's something else that works. Maybe a sense of the landscape and all those parts, all those different parts of you, different elements in the landscape. But you are the bigger landscape. So we'll just take another minute. Take your time. And then, yeah, gently bringing that to a close. You might move your body a little if it's been still, or look around, or just find some gentle way of taking in this broader. Maybe you already sense it, but yeah, to, yeah, bringing that to a close. Yeah. So let's take a few minutes. We have a few minutes again for questions or comments or anything you noticed in that experiential exercise. It's a kind of a flavor of what you might do for yourself in focusing or something on you know, and there's a lot more to say about how to do that. And I come to that on my courses. It's hopefully gives a flavor. But yeah, anything you notice, anything you want to share, Cara says, yeah, I think, yeah. The bigger landscape, great, I'm glad that helped. Again, a symbol or a metaphor can really capture something in a way. I find that, in fact, yeah, many images from nature help me to be with what's there. So feel free to put in the chat or speak out, to put your hand up and I can unmute you. Great. Allowing all things, less than hyper-focus on what's not comfortable. Thanks. Yeah, you know, survival, from the survival point of view, we're conditioned, maybe would be the right word, to notice what's difficult, to notice what's uncomfortable. that was really useful for like 250,000 years, helps us get through the jungle and, you know, living in a wild landscape. But we've kind of taken it to extremes, really, in our modern age. We're so much information is thrown at us about what's not okay, and it's very easy to just focus on that all the time. So thanks. Good. Well, one of the things I really want to like about this kind of approach is it allows you to also not want to feel stuff. Like so many, I think before focusing, I came across this idea of, you know, like loving all your experience, you know, love all of yourself. But I'm like, but I don't, I hate that part of me. Oh, well, this radical acceptance can allow that part of you to be here. That part of you doesn't like feeling this way. Like that's, for me, that was a big changer. Like, wow. I cannot like how I feel, and that's okay. And then you can be bigger than that too, just like that fireplace. So that's something about that I just want to draw out now. It's not about liking everything that you have or sort of immediately, you know. So yeah. Great. Thanks, Cara. Thanks for joining us. Some feelings come from inside of me and seem to be triggered by my reaction to others. Yes, and they have a different quality. Yeah, well, there's information there, isn't there? You know, in our reaction to other people. This is a question that comes in chat. You know, like, that's the kind of situation, isn't it? Maybe we've had, we're entangled with other people, I think. And sometimes we don't know what's ours and what's theirs and what needs attention and what doesn't. So they're quite complex situations, those of others. But we can be with all of that, you know. I mean, I guess focusing gives us this opportunity to sense into that more fully over time. Like, what is that? What is that funny for, like, somebody triggers me and, like, I don't know why. And, like, what is that? So can we learn to be curious about that? And what's in that? And often there's mix. There's, like, many threads to a trigger. You know, it's not just one thing. It could be your own history. It could be you sense something about them that they're bringing. It could be their history, it could be what's going on in the world, and lots of threads can strand into that situation. So that's as much as I can say about it right now. But so be curious about it. Trouble is the word trigger, it gives us a kind of very sort of like, oh, it's just like one feeling. Oh, I'm triggered, you know. And that's the top level. You might be fearful or I don't like it. But underneath that, there's always richness of information. So loving the open fire gives the idea of anything coming up in mind is just a part of the whole and can be welcomed. Great. Exactly. Any emotion, any part of us, anything can come around the fire. Great. Doing the exercise of seeing the image. Triggered feelings of compassion and acceptance. It is Colette Cameron. Yeah, that's right. The image was by my friend Colette. Exactly. Compassion and acceptance. I love that. So, you know, this idea of welcoming and acceptance in this practice, isn't a kind of, I want to say one thing before I move on to the last bit, isn't kind of, oh, come in, you know, come into the fireplace and then do what you like, run amok and take over the house and do smash the fireplace down. It's not that, but it is really welcoming. You welcome and you listen, you sit down with that part of you and go, wow, okay, how is it for you? How is it to feel triggered? Tell me, you know. So acceptance is a tricky word. It can feel like, oh, we have to accept everything that's going on here. But yeah, it's more nuanced than that. Somewhere, yes, coming up to our end time, I just want to give you a little bit of a tiny bit about, maybe just a bit of context of focusing. Very brief, this is. So focusing arises from really philosophy and psychotherapy, emerging of those back in the, well, really from the 50s onwards. But the heart of it really is a study of like what helps people change in therapy. So is it really what the therapist or a kind of therapy? And what was discovered was it's the people who made progress were those who sensed to this. They paused and they noticed in time. They noticed what was going on in that moment in their bodies, in their kind of deeper than just their thoughts. They're like, oh, right. And those people who paused and sensed directly, those are people who made progress. And this that became focusing. And it became a kind of formal practice. How do we teach this to people? That's what they thought. Some people get it naturally, but some people don't. They just talk and talk and talk. So how do we make that so everyone can have it. And focusing was, as a practice, a formal practice, was born from there. But it's something that we all know, I think, a little to some extent. So focusing is something you can learn and deepen, and even though it's natural, as there are, you can practice it, and you can practice it on your own, or you can or practice it in partnership. So I mentioned that in one of my in an earlier example, somebody listening to you in this very empathic, non-judgmental way. It's called a focusing partnership. Really lovely way to be with somebody. They're not judging, they're not giving advice. They're not, most of our conversations with other people can be sort of marred by like trying to make us feel better or advice. Like being a focusing partnership, you just, someone listen, they just listen to you. It's very, very beautiful practice. So yeah, that's but yeah, on your own or as in a pair. Yeah, and I teach courses in this, so I'll send out some information to that after this course about how to practice that. Once you've got it for life. You know, it's like a, it's not like one of the things that I love about focusing is that it's sort of free. Once you know it, it's free. You don't have to keep paying someone for it. You know, this is really part of Jensen's vision of focusing. That it's not reliant on an expert. You're your own inner being is the expert. You can do it yourself and do it with someone else. And all of that is free. It's completely peer relationship. There's no hierarchy. It's really lovely. So that just gives you a little sense of how it can be practiced. People apply it in all sorts of ways to work with trauma and unresolved situations or decisions or creativity, or like it's applicable in all sorts of dimensions of life. So thanks for joining me. It's really good to see you. Thanks for your questions, some of the comments. All of the comments have been great to explore. If you have any questions, get back to me after this. I'll be sending out an email with to anyone who's registered, so you'll get a bit of information and a recording. But other than that, yeah, thanks very much and good night. All right. Bye for now.
Thank you.
That's all right. Thank you. Bye.